Seeing the quorum, I'm going to call to order the Government Operations Reform Technology and Elections Committee, almost as long as the title of Jim Rice's old committee. We've got a quorum, but we don't have all of the members here, so we won't do introductions at this meeting until we get all of the members here. But we could start with the presentation of the bill. And the first bill on the agenda is House File 7, Representative Loeffler's bill. And Representative Morgan, do you have a motion for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd like to move House File 7, I'd like to move passage and referral to the Committee on Finance.
All right. That puts the bill before us, and then I believe... Representative Loeffler, you have a delete everything amendment?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
And is that
a motion to move that to H007DE1 amendment?
All right. Members, in your packet, you should have H007DE1. Representative Martin, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I move the DE1 amendment to House File 7.
Representative Morgan moves the DE-1 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed signify by nay. Motion prevails. The bill is amended and is before. So, Representative Loeffler, will you please present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Good morning. As I go through the bill, I will highlight what the differences are between the introduced version and the delete everything amendment so that everyone gets onto the same page. This is a bill that actually I hope once it gets enacted, if it gets enacted, that it is not actually put into practice. And this is to address the situation that we ran into in 2005 in which we hit a budget impasse in the negotiations and we were not able to have an agreement on a budget before the start of the next fiscal year. And as a result, we went through all the planning and expense of shutting down state government services and then reestablishing them once the budget agreement was reached. After that occurred, many of us felt like we needed to address how did we get to that point and how to resolve it? And we had a legislative reform effort on a bipartisan basis that asked every member of our legislature, the State House, for their ideas on how to avoid these impasses in the future, had all participate or all were invited to participate in a survey on those. And I must say the highest ranked proposal on a bipartisan basis overwhelmingly was to enact a continuing provision by which state government would continue to function if we were to set once again reach an impasse. And that is the goal of this bill. And I always think it's better to implement these types of legislation in the calm, thoughtful atmosphere that we're in now rather than in the heat of an impasse. The first subdivision in Section 1 provides that the appropriations, if we do not have a major appropriation bill enacted before July 1 of the odd-numbered year, the start of our state biennial budget, the existing appropriations pertaining to that bill continue in effect at the base level for the next fiscal year. The base level is defined as the amount appropriated for the fiscal year ending that year, except with some exceptions that we'll be going through. So this is not to provide, increases. This is not to make government functioning at a happy level using all the resources that we have. This is just to minimally retain our current level of services into the next fiscal year while negotiations continue. This is not expected to be an ongoing budget. It's supposed to be a process by which there's continuity of services while the negotiations continue. The designation of the major appropriations bills can be done by joint resolution of the House and Senate. You may have noticed that in some of the other bills that have been introduced, there's been lists of bills. Just as our committee structure has changed this year and often does, a jurisdiction of bills changes, we try to make the language as general as possible so that it would survive the test of time. The exceptions and adjustments are listed out in Subdivision 2. One is to provide for one-time appropriation. Sometimes we have an event or a expenditure that is intended by the legislature to be a one-time expenditure, and we do not want this to continue it on into a second year. And that is typically indicated in the appropriations and finance bills as they're passed. B is about the phase-out. When we have a program that we have decided to discontinue and have set an expiration date, that the expiration date is honored. C is to allow the Commissioner of Finance to make some technical adjustments when there has been money previously appropriated, money in which there was carryover authority under one. That would be a situation oftentimes where you have a startup program and something, we're not sure how fast it's going to ramp up, and so you might authorize money from the first year of the biennium to carry over into the second year. And since the goal of this bill is continuity of service, it allows that the amount to be continued to be that second year higher amount as determined by the Department of Finance and the in order to just maintain continuity. Two is the situation in which there was a law or policy on which the we are going to create new funds or accounts or adjustments. We're trying to make this bill flexible to deal with change as it happens, which is also the intent of three, which is when there's been a transfer of duties between state agencies authorized by either the administration or by law. And for a program in which it wasn't fully operational in the first year and then you need to make some adjustment for newer change programs. When the Commissioner of Finance makes any of these authorized adjustments, they're to notify the appropriate finance chairs within the legislature. So the goal of this is just to keep government operating at a base level while negotiations continue to avoid the cost, the expense, the service disruption of shutting down government during that period. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll respond to questions.
All right. Thank you, Representative Walker. We have most of the members here today, so I'm going to just deviate a little bit and explain a couple of things. Members, you'll notice on the agenda we have a number of bills listed. House File 7 is going to be the primary bill dealing with the topic of lights on. The other bills are listed. The authors have been consulted, and if they are here today and wish to make a comment, we certainly would encourage that, but House File 7 will be the primary vehicle bill. Secondly, we're going to try to start on time, even though I realize 8 o'clock in the morning is a little early, but we will start as close to 8 as possible. Tuesday, we are having a hearing from the legislative auditor on the pension report. I would encourage all of the members to be here on time. I would suspect that once the report, which is about 15 minutes long, is presented, you will have numerous questions. So that will be Tuesday. With that, also, let's do a brief introduction. We'll start with my left and just go around the table, and if everyone could just briefly introduce themselves, starting with Kathy Anderson and just going around.
Okay, I'm Kathy Anderson, and I work for Chairman Pawlowski and Representative Gene Poppe.
I'm Will Morgan. I represent Burnsville and Savage down in Dakota and Scott Counties.
Steve Simon from Hopkins and St. Louis Park.
I'm Sarah Anderson, and I represent Plymouth and Medicine Lake.
I'm Michael Nelson. I represent the southern half of Brooklyn Park.
Tom Emmer, eastern half of Wright County.
Gene Poppe, Austin, Mower County.
Sandy Wolfslager, parts of Goodhue and Wabasha counties.
Ryan Winkler, Golden Valley and St. Louis Park.
Luke Cool, DFL House Research.
Ian Marsh, Republican Caucus Research.
Neil Peterson, Bloomington, and enough Edina to keep me humble.
Hard to follow that. Laura Broder, represent 25A, which has all of Le Sueur County, parts of Sibley, and a piece of Scott.
I'm Bill Hilty. I represent portions of Pine, Carlton, and St. Louis County.
Larry Hobbs, Cass, Crowling, and Hubbard County, and I have more lakes and golf courses than any of you.
Phyllis Kahn, Southeast, and a little bit of South Minneapolis, essentially the University of Minnesota, and I once chaired this committee.
Jeremy Kalin from Chisago County.
Mark Shepard from the House Research Department, and also Matt Gehring from House Research is here. He'll be working with the committee on elections issues.
I'm Mark Malander. I'm the committee administrator for the committee.
Gene Pawlowski, Winona in Houston counties, and could we have our two worthy assistants up there to introduce themselves also, please. It's okay, go ahead, say it in the mic. That's fine.
Larissa Redberg, Paige.
Okay.
I'm Arlen Rusted. This is my sixth year here. I'm retired natural gas utility employee for 38 years, and I'm not sure what I want to be when I grow up.
I haven't decided either. So. All right, members, the bill has been presented, and Representative Loeffler's walked through it. Are there any questions of the Representative Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Loeffler, can you maybe help me understand the open-endedness of your bill? Essentially, the way I read it, unless I'm reading it incorrectly, is that there is no end to these continuing appropriations, and maybe you can point to me where I might be wrong on that.
Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Broad, actually the Delete Everything Amendment addresses that. It was actually my intent to begin with, but it wasn't drafted that way.
Today, members, we're working off the DE1 amendment.
Through the fiscal
Representative Loeffler, excuse me, just 1 second, just for everybody. We're working off the DE1 amendment, to Delete Everything. So if members could refer their questions to the DE1 amendment.
If you look at, excuse me, Mr. Chairman and Representative Broad, if you look at lines 1.7, it's clear that it's the appropriation through, at the base level, through the fiscal year beginning July 1 of that odd-numbered year. And the intention, as I had stated earlier, was just to keep government operating, continuing, while the negotiations continue and hopefully are quickly resolved. I should probably preface that this Delete Everything Amendment, it represents a lot of good input from our nonpartisan staff, both Mark Shepard and our fiscal staff, Bill Marks and Helen Roberts, as well as the thinking of the previous Government Operations Committee. Last year, Representative Tinkelstead was chair of this committee, and many people here served on that with me, and this committee also looked at some of the exceptions that are listed here. So it represents more than the work of this individual, but the work of a number of different people, including this former committee last year. It did pass on the floor as an amendment to a bill, but we have since had good minds put to it again and hopefully have improved it even further.
President Brett, do you have another question?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Loeffler, can you tell me how this might work in times of a significant deficit? If we're expecting deficits going forward and we need to make some decisions based on those deficits, how does this not make those decisions even more difficult in the years coming forward because the spending levels stay the same, so some of the dollars are going out along the way? So how does this not make those times even more difficult to come to some type of conclusion in a timely manner?
Representative Law.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Broad, that's a good point in that budgeting is never easy. When there's too much money, we all fight over how to use it, and when it's too little money, it's very, very difficult to try and figure out which services are essential. But this continues the budget only at a base level, which is what we define in statutes. It's a minimal level. It would not have rate increases for nursing homes, for schools, for, you know, and so there's a real disincentive to continue in this situation for very long. When we're in a deficit and we know we need to reduce things probably potentially below the base, then there's even more pressure for us to do this quickly because we know that every day that we're under this base budget, we're losing a little bit of opportunity in terms of, you know, cutting back on particular appropriations. The goal of this is not to have this be an ongoing budget, but to keep the government functioning while that impasse is seriously resolved.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Loeffler, I can appreciate the goal. What I'm trying to figure out are the unintended consequences of doing this. Whether we're just pushing decisions off further down the road and in a time of deficit making decisions and making that agreement even more difficult to come to, or whether, I guess I'm trying to understand where continuity is trumping accountability. And that's, that's one of the things that I'm trying to understand through this legislation.
Representative Law.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Broad and members, actually, this is to save our precious dollars so that we can actually dedicate those to ongoing services. Because if you recall, when we shut down state government, we incurred millions of dollars of additional expenses in shutting down the government, putting up the barriers in front of the entrances to the state parks, you know, sending out notices to employees on how this is going to be handled and who is going to take over whose job. And in dealing with the courts, in which they dealt with what was essential and what wasn't. And so there were lots of costs that didn't go into a tight budget to deliver services, but instead were just put into closing down state government and then ramping up state government. And so this hopefully will avoid us using scarce, limited resources in the cost of closing down government and bringing it back up.
Representative Cox.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Broad, I'm sorry I was late, so I apologize if this was said. But at the end of last year, there were five or six legislators that did not come to agreement. 2 years ago. And only one government shutdown, which was Minnesota. And the answer is that all we had to do was look to our neighbor state, Wisconsin, which had did not come to a budget agreement, but yet did not shut down essential service, did not shut down services because of their continuing resolution, which actually is not as well drafted as this one.
Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Loeffler, could you tell me specifically, rather than just generally, how much money was incurred as expense versus savings on the shutdown? Do you have like an itemized list that you put together that we could look at?
Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Emmer, actually I had inquired with our staff about that, and there has been a variety of different analysis that have been done. One said total expenditures were $35,815,000, but within that there's some employee compensation costs of almost $5 million that would have been incurred without a shutdown. But the total cost of the special master was $18,654. So I take from this memo that the costs were around $30 million when you net out some of the costs that we would have incurred anyhow. And Bill Marks, from our fiscal department, I had expected him to be here, could have given you more details.
Representative Loeffler, Bill Marks is here.
Right.
And if he wants to come down and address any of that, he is welcome to do so. Mr. Marks, sir. May not be fully prepared, but it looks like someone is. Welcome to the committee. Would you please identify yourself?
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Helen Roberts, Chair of the School Staff. I work for Bill Marks. There hasn't been a real comprehensive study of the cost of the shutdown, other than the Department of Finance did look at the costs that were authorized by the court to the special master, and that's what the $35 million figure is attributable to. The court had actually authorized spending much greater than that, but the actual spending that took place during the shutdown period under the authority of the court was the $35 million.
Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Ms. Roberts. This is a problem that I'm having, is that, and I'd really like to see it, Representative Loeffler, at some point, because the special master, we already provide for essential services. They're ongoing. The special master would be responsible for determining what is essential and what needs to be funded. So from my perspective, that should not be factored in at all as a cost of a government shutdown. Certainly the $18,000 would be, because you wouldn't have the special master. And I guess two things, Representative Loeffler. First would be, I would love at some point to see an itemized list of the specific government functions that you believe cost us more money as a result of the shutdown that took place a couple of years ago. And then second, I'd like to make sure that we separated out essential services, which brings this question. Why do we need this if we already have a system that provides for funding essential services in the event of a shutdown?
Representative Loeffler, you want to respond to that?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Emmer, I'd actually like to have our counsel, Mark Shepherd, talk about the situation with the the court intervening, and there's a current court case that has not been resolved related to that special master authority to designate what is essential and what isn't. I think that does, we don't have necessarily an ongoing system to accommodate at this point. But Mr. Shepherd, would you
Mr.
help well,
us? Mr. Chairman, before we put Mr. Shepherd to that trouble, Representative Loeffler, I'm familiar with the lawsuit, and the lawsuit actually is about the legislature giving away its authority to the special master to make decisions on essential services. And I guess what I'm asking you is not really on the lawsuit. It's just the fact that whether there's a dispute over what's essential or not, why do we need a continuing appropriation if we do have in place a system for essential services? Because you're not here, I don't believe, claiming that some essential services were not funded during that period of time, or are you?
Yes.
Representative Locke.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Emmer, I actually believe that continuity of services is of value whether you designate them as essential or not, and I think there were problems with the designation of what is essential and is not is a judgment call. I know that I remember that the battered women's shelters were protesting on the steps of the Capitol as we were walking up for another day of special session, and I said, well, haven't you gone to the special master? Well, they had gone to the special master and had gotten designated, but the state agency that cuts the checks for them said they didn't have enough personnel to cut the checks. I mean, so we ran into just even implementation problems, even in the designation of what was essential or not. But I think for the benefit of the people who weren't in service during that period of time, it still might be useful for Mr. Shepherd to give a little more background on this particular topic.
Representative Pine, did you have a question?
Well, I just wanted to point out there were people who couldn't get driver's licenses, people who couldn't take driver's tests. There was also something that you can't measure at all, which was the psychological problem that state government essentially did nothing except discuss what the shutdown was going to be. Now, look at one of the things which Representative Loeffler referred to, which didn't get shut down, because if you remember, we did pass a bill just before the end of the we did pass the environment bill just before the end of the session so that we didn't shut down for 4th of July weekend, I guess it would have been. And but what happened was that people were sitting waiting to find out if the parks were going to be open, and so no one was let in until the notice came that the bill was passed, which I think was late in the afternoon. So these kinds of things that you absolutely just can't measure, how of the sort of uncertainty and the sort of the fact that people who have a certain amount of work to do are not doing that work. They're standing around discussing what's going to happen with the shutdown in ways that they're discussing how is it going to affect them personally, but many, many of them are talking about how it's going to affect the job that they're supposed to do and the people they're supposed to serve. So that you'll never measure that.
Are there any other questions? Was there a question for Mr. Shepherd or not? I'm not clear whether there was a direct question to Mr. Shepherd. Representative Loeffler, did you have something you wanted?
Mr. Chairman, I just felt that for the first-term members on the committee who weren't part of this whole process, it might have been useful, since you were discussing the special master and how that worked and that there was a court case, it might be just useful to get the whole committee on the same point on that.
Mr. Shepherd?
Mr. Chair, just very briefly, after the court appointed a special master who decided that some functions of state government were essential and would continue, that action was challenged, and it's currently on appeal to the Minnesota Supreme Court. The general issue is that the Minnesota Constitution says that no money can be paid out of the Treasury except with an appropriation. The special master, that there's obviously other parts of the Constitution that provide that there's a judicial branch and essential constitutional functions that have to be performed in the legislative and executive branch. And so the issue that the court will be deciding is how to put all that together and whether a court has authority to order spending in the absence of an appropriation. That a decision, I assume, will be coming forth fairly soon.
Members? Representative Volkswagen.
Representative Loeffler, Is your bill or the amended bill now like Wisconsin?
No.
I mean, I have before me a comparison of these appropriation bills, yours and other representatives. But can you explain to me a little bit of perhaps other states' wording? Are we close to other states' wording now, or?
Representative Walter, I think Mr. Marks will address that question for you. So, welcome to the committee, and would you identify yourself, please?
Mr. Chair, thank you, Bill Marks and the fiscal staff. The two other states we're aware of that have some language like this, Wisconsin and Rhode Island. I'll address Wisconsin in a minute. This language is fairly similar to the Rhode Island language, in that the Rhode Island language essentially says in an emergency caused by the failure of the General Assembly to pass an annual appropriation bill, the same amounts appropriated in the previous fiscal year shall be available for each department and division thereof, subject to monthly or quarterly allotments, in accordance with seasonal requirements as determined by the budget officer, provided, however, that expenditures for payment of bonded indebtedness of the state and interest thereon shall be in such amounts as may be required, regardless of whether or not an annual appropriation bill is passed by the Assembly. That's the Rhode Island language, which I characterize this as more similar to that. The Wisconsin language is a little more complicated, and as I understand it from information from the National Conference of State Legislatures, Wisconsin essentially puts their appropriation bills into the statute, which makes them ongoing. So their law is ongoing until changed, and so that if $1 million is appropriated for an agency in fiscal year 2006 or 2007, that will keep going until the legislature changes it. I haven't looked at their language, but that's the explanation that I have of it. So theirs is probably a little more open than this. That might be the fair way to characterize it. Mr. Shepard may have more information. I'm not sure.
Representative Wolchek, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Marks, or maybe Mr. Shepard, that just brought something to my mind, though. Doesn't Wisconsin, though, meet year-round in extraordinary sessions all the time? I mean, I don't know that it's exactly comparable. Their extraordinary sessions versus our special sessions, it appears, if I recall it correctly, they're always meeting.
Mr. Shepard or Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair and Representative Broad, I believe that Wisconsin meets more often than Minnesota does. The last I checked with them, they had, for example, a fall session in October. I don't know that they meet year-round continuously like some legislatures do, but I think they do meet more often through the year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just Representative Loeffler, one thing with that $35 million that Ms. Roberts talked about, and thank you for pulling that together, Ms. Roberts, but I agree with Representative Emmer that I'm not sure that that's a great number to use in terms of saying that that's the cost of the government shutdown, because a lot of those things, if I'm hearing it correctly, would be considered expenditures that we would have to make but aren't necessarily deemed to be costs of the shutdown. So I guess that's just one comment. But I'm wondering if there isn't a better way to approach this as opposed to creating an ongoing continuation of revenues that may or may not be there. I'm still thinking in times of budget deficit that why don't we just do what I think an average person would expect us to do, is move things up in the process as opposed to back-end loading them like we do. I mean, why don't we do something a little bit different and require our budget bills to be passed at a certain time so that we have additional time to negotiate at the end of session so that we're not going into special sessions? I mean, why wouldn't we do something like that before we jump off the cliff in continuing these appropriations in times of deficit?
Representative Block.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Broad, and members, I think we should always try and get our work done earliest and for sure on time. And I think there are a variety of legislative proposals that have been introduced. I had in the past introduced a bill that had, you know, tighter time frames by which we'd get the detail of the budget from the governor and those sorts of things. But this is a backstop. This says even if the best of intentions, you get things early, you do things early, you hit that impasse, that continuity of services will continue. And it really is a fail-safe. It's not about, I think we can always look to improving our service, how we do our budget, how we do our work.
But when we hit an impasse, which can be not just about process, it could be about politics or personality, that we have a commitment to the people of Minnesota that the services that they rely on will continue.
Representative Brough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, maybe you could help me understand the process for amendments. I guess I do have an amendment that I'd like to make to this bill.
Members, I realize we have at least four amendments, and this was a discussion that we had had yesterday in the last couple of days, and I wanted to thank Representative Howes for sharing those amendments with us on the Republican side. So we will have an opportunity to offer amendments, as many amendments as the members wish to the bill. And this bill will or will not pass today, depending on our work. If it isn't complete, the bill will be laid over until the bill is in as proper a form as we can make it for the next stop. So at whatever point this discussion ends, we'll start with amendments. And if that's right now, that's fine.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if, yes. If that's your wish, I do have the A4 amendment I'd like to offer.
All right. So you want to move that amendment?
I would, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. The A4 amendment. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Kalin has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not to stop the train from getting on the tracks of the amendment process here, but Representative Loeffler, you know, as a newbie around here, I understand very much the process implication and the motivation for reforming our process here as a legislature to get us to work better, more efficiently, to settle the honest differences in both philosophy and then personality. I'm wondering, though, if you as someone who wasn't a member of this body 2 years ago, and I was actually on the ground every day, not to suggest that members weren't in close contact with their constituents and with the impact locally, but you know, there's a lot of the impact that doesn't appear on our state books. The uncertainty, as has been mentioned before, of knowing whether funding was going to continue for important services in the disability community. I know that schools who had summer programs going on were not sure if appropriations were going to continue county level, city level. You know, I think that my impression from touching base every day the last few days of June 2005 with my local folks was that there was quite a bit of inefficiency that was created by not knowing what would happen based on the ongoing discussions and debate here. And I'm wondering if you have considered that in drafting your bill, and if you can speak at all to any attempt to put a number on those inefficiencies and uncertainties created out in all over Minnesota.
Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Kalin, because there hasn't been done, as I understand it, a really detailed fiscal analysis of all the consequences and impacts on it, I don't know that I put a dollar number on it. But I think more importantly, I think we can talk about the consequences for both our state employees as well as the public who served it and those of us who served during that time. Because all of us spent a significant amount of time, at least those of us who have state employees in our district or people who are dependent on public services, because they have disabilities or on medical assistance, they read it in the paper, they don't know what's continuing, what isn't, and we're calling our offices asking, what's going to happen? Will my prescription be renewed? What will happen? I heard from state employees who were afraid that their credit rating was going to be destroyed just as they're about to build buy a house, which is an exciting part of your life, but when you don't have a paycheck and all of a sudden you're not meeting your obligations, there were issues that way. I heard there were people who vacation time was being used just to keep the cash flow into the family budget, because who then were having to cancel vacations. Potentially, one person was not going to be able to go to a close friend's wedding in another state because she had to use up her vacation to be able to pay the rent. And so, I mean, there are a lot of personal consequences, both for the people that we serve, the people who work for us, and I think those it's impossible to put a price tag on. For people who were worried, who are dependent on state services, I mean, that's a burden as well. But I can't say for the senior who's dependent on medical assistance to keep home care going, you know, what the dollar value of that stress was. But, I mean, it clearly was not just a stress on those of us sitting in the Capitol, pushing to get resolution. It was also a stress of the people served by state services as well as the employees who carry out state services. And I think as we go into a much more competitive labor market, as we heard at the presentation from the state demographer and the state economist at the all-legislative retreat a week ago, as we compete for state employees with all other sectors in a tight, tight job market in the next 10 years, being able to be a reliable, responsible employer may be one of the things that people weigh. But there were consequences that I don't think were ever totally cataloged.
Representative Kim.
Thank you, Representative Lockhart.
Representative Kahn? No. Is there any more discussion? Yes, Representative Member.
I do have a question. Maybe I'm just missing it. Representative Lawford, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, you had said that this has a... I've got an amendment that I'll offer later up that's got like a sunset or a deadline clause, and you had made the statement earlier that your delete all amendment has that. I was just picking on Representative Nelson. If you could look at subdivision 1 and your 1-6, I guess it is. I'm reading that sentence to say, well, I'll just read it. If a major appropriation bill is not enacted before July 1, for instance, of this year, 07, the existing appropriation amounts pertaining to that bill for the fiscal year ending that June 30, so this June 30th of 07, are in effect again at the base level through the fiscal year beginning July 1 of this year, 2007. Am I reading that right?
Representative Laughlin.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Emmer, that July 1 of the odd-numbered year would be the first fiscal year of the new biennium. So it would be in effect for that first fiscal year of the next biennium.
Is that... Mr.
Representative
Emmer. And Mr. Shepard, perhaps, maybe I'm having a disconnect that just sets the base level starting at July 1 and then it runs?
Let's have Mr. Shepard explain.
Mr. Chair and Representative Emmer, Representative Lawther, as I read it, it would provide the end of the sentence. The effect on line 7 would say that the existing appropriations are in effect again at the base level through the fiscal year beginning July 1 of the odd-numbered year. So the fiscal year that begins July 1st of 07. So the appropriations would remain in effect for 1 year from, if it were this year, from July 1, 07 through June 30th of 08.
Right. Okay. Representative, that clarifies.
That answers it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Is there any more discussion to the delete everything amendment? If not, I believe then, Representative Bird, you have your amendment, the A4?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Would you like to move that, please?
Certainly. I'll move the A4 amendment, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So the A4 amendment is before us. Representative Bird, would you explain it?
Sure. Representative Loeffler and members, essentially what I view is your bill is the carrot and my bill is the stick, or my amendment is the stick. Essentially it says, you know what, we need to have some time limits on what we're doing to make sure that our job is getting done so that we don't have to go in the situation of these continuing appropriations. I don't think that's the way we want to go. So essentially what the amendment does is that it forces us to get our appropriations bills done well before the constitutional adjournment or the end of session, leaving the end of session, I think, for a number of things that we could do, a number of policy bills that often get just crammed in on the last couple hours that don't provide a lot of openness and transparency in how government works. So all this will do is require us to get our jobs done early, and Mr. Chairman and members, I would appreciate your support.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative. But just thinking through this practically, I have a question about if we can't vote on an appropriation bill after the first Monday in May. I understand your intent to try and get things done early, but it seems to me then you've created another crisis point in that what happens then if we have not gotten those appropriation bills done then?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Loeffler, that crisis point would happen while we're in session, so we would have an opportunity to vote and to deal with it at that point. The continuing resolution happens after things are already to a point where there's essentially no return. So this, I think, forces our hands while we're in session, which is when things should be getting done, and I think that's what citizens would expect.
Representative Kahn.
Well, first of all, I don't know how many appropriations committees you've served on or how long you've served on them, but the basic problem is that the most important thing we do in the odd-numbered year is our appropriation bill. And there's absolutely no point in rushing them. They do not take a long time because of procrastination or stubbornness or anything like that. They take a long time because there are complicated issues to look at. And if the issue of legislative oversight and legislative looking at executive agencies, for example, or whatever the subject of the Appropriations Committee means anything, it should not be rushed. And so I've always thought that we should actually do the opposite, and, you know, except for the difficulty of explaining it, we should probably have another month of session in the odd-numbered years and then adjourn earlier in the even-numbered years just so that we're not rushing our appropriations and tax decisions. And, first of all, this would be completely meaningless in terms of getting more cynicism in state government, because the first thing that one would do in any bill that you were voting on, you would say, notwithstanding Minnesota Statutes 3.051, you know, this bill is inactive, and so forth. So this is just something that would look as if we're trying to exert some discipline. The discipline doesn't make any sense, and just in terms of the importance of the work that we have to do, but besides that, it's meaningless, because if we ever needed to do it, we would just throw it aside with, you know, faster than you could type this out.
Representative Brock.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Kahn, I'm interested that you're willing and understanding of just throwing these things aside. I happen to not agree with that. I also am interested in your comment on my time and length of serving on appropriations committees. I look around this table, and I see a lot of new members. And I don't think length of service is a prerequisite for common sense. So let me just start there. I guess my comment is that, you know, we do have a deliberative process. We should have a deliberative process, but we should not have a process that dumps everything that are important, $32 billion, into the last 3 weeks of session. And this is a bill, I think, that sets up a parameter, sets up an intent by the legislature not to do that. I think it's pretty simple.
Rep. Symbols.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Broad, I appreciate your amendment and your comments. I agree that length of service is not necessary for common sense. In fact, after being here on my eighth term now, I would even say that maybe length of service could cause you to lose your common sense. That being said, Representative Kahn, I'm not aware of a instance where committees have not met their deadline. And Representative Broad is establishing a deadline for the body. We've had these debates many times on rules, trying to define a deadline for the body to get its work done. And I'm not aware, and I say this for the benefit, especially for the benefit of the new members, I'm not aware in the 14 years that I've been here that a committee has not met their deadline. Representative Kahn, you are correct, and so right to say that these bills are complicated. But the reason we're not getting our work done has little to do with meeting a deadline. And this bill, albeit well-intended, I'm really concerned that we're just moving a deadline so we can continue on the path that we've been on of letting our legislative leaders go into gridlock and into partisan games that have no real good effect for Minnesotans. And this just makes it easier to do that when we eliminate this deadline. We spent over 1,000 hours in committee in 05, and I think it was over 350 hours on the House floor doing our work, and we were all ready to vote. And there was absolutely, absolutely no reason why we couldn't have had our work done. It was purely politics. And I made that point clear in that session 14 times. And I think this is well intended, and it will mitigate the issues that lack of decision-making caused, but it will not move us towards getting our decisions made. In fact, if council could help me, I'm not aware of any provision like this ever being in place in the history of this state. And if I understand correctly, that was the first time we ever shut government down. So I think after over 100 years of being a legislature, being an institution like this and operating like this, we need to ask ourselves, why is this happening now? And what will this bill do to mitigate why this is happening now? I think it will make it easier for this to continue happening. And this amendment, I think, goes in a good direction. I think it improves the bill, but I don't think the bill is needed at all, nor will it be helpful. What is missing in this amendment, however, is a provision that would clarify that if we go past this deadline, how then do we make a decision for appropriations so we don't get stuck being forced past the next deadline?
Mr. Chair, Representative Broad, frankly, as a first member, the only thing I can bring to the process is common sense, certainly not experience. And it's probably that which drives my question, which is, as I read this, it says that during a regular legislative session, you cannot vote on an appropriations bill after the first Monday in May, but that doesn't say you couldn't vote on it during a special session. So, and I don't know, this is truly a question, but it would seem to me the implication of this is that we wait until a special session then to pass an appropriation bill, and we're sort of in limbo until the regular session runs out. Is that the intent, or how is the process supposed to work?
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, the intent is that we actually vote on those bills before May 1st.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Broad, I don't see how the language in front of us would do that. All it says is that we can't vote on it in regular session after the first Monday in May. It doesn't require us to vote to do so. It just says we can't do it afterwards in regular session. So my reading of it says we wait until special session, and then we can vote anytime we want to.
Representative Broad.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Winkler, I'd be happy to do an adjustment to the language to require us to make that vote before May 1st. This is just the way the amendment was drafted, but I can see your point. I'd be happy to work on that language. Essentially, what I'm trying to do is exactly what you're suggesting.
Thank you.
Mr. Shepard, with this amendment, if this were to become law, would we be able to, during a regular legislative session, simply add a phrase notwithstanding this and then pass whatever it is we wanted to?
Mr. Chair, I mean, yes, I think that a later law always supersedes an earlier law, so it would be possible, I think, to do that.
Representative Winkler, does that answer your question?
Well, Mr. Chair, my question was really what the intent was and whether the language in front of us actually effectuated the intent of the amendment. And I think that you raised a separate issue, which is how easily this particular provision could be sidestepped at the will of the body.
Representative Winkler, my intent was not to raise an issue, just to clarify one. Representative Nelson.
The question I have thank you, Mr. Chairman, and for Representative Broad, is what happens on a veto? If we pass it before May 1st, the governor vetoes it, we don't get it back till after May 1st, we do something different in the committee and come up with a different appropriation, are we then stuck not being able to pass that? Or, I mean, how is that going to affect that?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Nelson, that's a great point. This does not address that situation.
Representative Nelson, yeah.
No. Well,
Representative Cox.
Mr. Chairman, it does. Governor vetoes it, you can't vote on a bill appropriating money. Or if you're going to override the governor's veto, you're going to vote on a bill appropriating money. If you're going to do a new bill, it's going to be a bill appropriating money. It specifically addresses it.
Is there any further discussion on the A4 amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if a member like myself is not inclined to support legislation that involves a statutory conflict, the notwithstanding element that's been introduced here, and we have not passed appropriation bills. Wouldn't it be so simple to just then adjourn sine die and then force convening a special session earlier than than the Constitution provides, and it just sort of makes more relying here on my common sense, not my experience, more mumbo jumbo in terms of scheduling and everything, rather than cleaning it up. It seems like there's potential for more of a mess.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, I hope there's a lot of people watching out there and listening out there, because what we're talking about is how do we get around the laws that we're putting on the books. That's what we're talking about. We're sitting here talking about we're going to put something on the book, but we've got to figure out how to get around it first. So Mr. Chairman, there's all sorts of ways that we can work on this to make it better. The intent of this amendment is that we get our job done early. The intent of this amendment is that we don't back-end load what we do here at the state capitol. I think that's what the citizens expect. I'm more than happy, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to get the idea on the table. I'm more than happy to work on the language. I think there's a number of very good suggestions out there Representative Nelson and Representative Winkler have made. So I'm more than happy to do that. I would like to get the intent of this amendment put forward, and if we, you know, we'll vote it up, vote it down. If we agree with the intent, we can work on the language.
Representative Pat.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the reason the discussion has gone to how you get around this is because this puts an unworkable clink into the way that we do appropriations bills. And there's a reason that the constitutional deadline is the third Monday in May, and that's the amount of time that it really takes to do the work done. And there's no point in putting an earlier deadline on the most important work that we do. If it works out that way, it's just fine. If people think that we ought to get done early and try and get out early, and I've heard that often, you know, and the work gets done, that is just fine. But to say that we're going to leave work undone, and you have no idea at this point how long it's going to take to get the appropriations bills done, you know, the first thing you have to think, you know, you do have to think one step ahead of what you're going to do. And the one step ahead is, if we come up against this deadline, what's going to happen? And the answer is, if you don't want to think out how to get around the law, don't try and pass stupid laws.
Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Broad. I think the people expect us to apply our common sense and to talk openly about whether we want laws to run the books or not. And if there's going to be conflict within statute, I think what our job is to consider the best laws that should go on the books. And I appreciate you raising the concern and the question of reform, because I think there are a lot of folks I know in this room who want to make this place work better and more efficiently. And so I appreciate you raising the issue. But I think, again, that's the purpose of what we're doing here, is to make sure that we only put laws on the books that help move us towards that reform process that I know that you and I share that motivation to work on together. So,
Representative Olson.
I'll try to be very quick, Mr. Chair. This really mirrors the debates we have on rules, because it's really a rules issue. But I want to point something out. With this amendment, if we didn't have a rules provision that a number of us have been advocating for some time to create a deadline. In fact, it passed on the House floor last year. For the first time, we created a deadline for conference committees to create a window of time for the body to act on conference reports. Every committee has a deadline. You have first committee deadline, second committee deadline, third committee deadline, giving the body time to act and get its work done. The bills go out to the Senate, to the conference committees process, and there's no deadline for conference committees. You end up with a very narrow, limited amount of time after conference committee reports come back to the body to do its work. With this amendment, you would simply move that very small window of time up, and you still have crunch time before this deadline. Still is problematic. The issue we really need to get to is conference committee deadlines, like what I proposed on the floor in 06 and it passed, so that there's a good window of time after the conference committees get the work done for the body to act.
Any further discussion? Yes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Broad, can you just explain me, the way I'm reading this amendment that you have is you're just telling us as a legislative body that we need to get our priorities straight and that we need to focus on the budget first and policy issues later. Is that correct?
Representative Broad.
Mr. Chairman, and yes, to put it simply, yes. I mean, that's essentially exactly what it does. It says that we have all sorts of time. We're here for plenty of time. We're here for the time that the people have allotted us to be here, and we should get our priorities straight, get our job done within that time frame. And it does leave room for all sorts of good policy issues that generally get passed very late at night or get tucked in other omnibus bills to be passed in a more more deliberative fashion. So it does exactly what you're suggesting. Well said.
Representative Anderson. No. Any further discussion on the A4 amendment? Representative Loeffler?
Mr. Chairman, I've become very cynical about deadlines, having experienced in my first term the slowdown. And, I mean, every deadline that was put before us, we just plowed through because the leadership were not able to come to agreement across all the people involved. And I think that this raises a variety of issues of implementation that I think the committee has outlined. And I think we need to make every legislative day count. And so I would not support at this point creating an artificial limit on what we can do in the month of May.
Seeing no further discussion on the A4 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
The motion does not prevail. The next amendment is the A2. Representative Emmer, is that your amendment?
Yes, it is.
Representative Emmer, you want to move your amendment, please?
I do, and before we get started on line 1.5, I would like to, how do you want me to do it? You want me to move the amendment first and then my oral amendment to the amendment?
Move the amendment first, Representative.
I'll move the amendment first.
So
the A2 amendment.
The amendment's before us, then you have a correction?
I do. I have an oral amendment on line 1.5. where it says even-numbered year, I would like that changed to odd-numbered year.
Verbal amendment.
That was the verbal amendment to the A2 amendment.
All right. So on 1.5, delete even and insert odd. All right. So the amendment's before us. Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Loeffler, members of the committee. I think the discussion here, from my point of view, is concerning, not because of this get-along discussion. That's great, and Representative Callan, we do all want to get to the same goal, which is to get these things done. The thing is, we already have a deadline, and you know what? The body needs to work within the deadline that exists. We need to make efforts to make sure that we accomplish our job by the deadline rather than taking deadlines off and letting things run. The most concerning statement that I heard this morning is that I think we should add some more time to the legislative session. In fact, folks, there's a great bill that's been offered that would revert us back to the time when the legislature met every other year. This is one of the problems, is that we've got a legislature that is moving towards, this is their full-time occupation. When times were that legislators had careers outside of the legislature, they were encouraged to finish by that deadline so they could get back to the work of the day in their communities. And I think by putting Representative Loeffler's bill in place, in fact, it encourages the future of a full-time legislature and government constantly running. It also, by doing this, we are giving up what we promised the folks that voted for us, we do, which is to govern, to lead. We have a job to do. Let's do it under the existing law, which is why I don't support the bill. But seeing that we're in a brave new world here at the legislature, and that my view probably isn't going to get the same kind of support that it might under a different scenario, I've got an alternative. And that's why I asked Representative Loeffler how her language works. I would prefer that if we're going to have this sort of thing, that by December 31st, we bring the legislature back into the picture and require a three-fifths vote if we're going to continue on this process, so that we don't have, I think the statement was made by Representative Loeffler just a couple minutes ago, when there's a breakdown in leadership. Let's let the representatives do their job. Let's let the senators do their job, and let's come back in on December 31st or before December 31st, have that three-fifths vote that would say we either continue with these appropriations or we're done. So it has some kind of deadline on it, and that's the amendment.
Any further discussion? Representative Bowles.
Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer, how are you saying... Are you saying that we'd have to convene a special session? I mean, December 31st. I'm curious. I'm trying to understand. I like what you're doing because of how you're moving deadlines and the direction you're moving them. But if we're not in session in December, how are we going to make that decision?
Mr. Chairman, I would assume that's what we'd have to do. I'm merely procedurally. I mean, I think you've correctly identified what would have to happen. What the timing is, how long that would be. I mean, the work should all be done, Representative Olson. You've said it already. Yep. The work was done in March, April, May. It's all done. So if you have to call a special session to have this vote, then you have to. But my point of the amendment is just a deadline.
Representative Olson.
Chair, members... Doesn't the governor call a special session?
That's correct. The governor would have to call a special session.
Ms.
Representative Olson, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Emmer. So the effect of this is to put the governor in the position where he would have to call a special session in order to not have the government shut down.
Representative Emmer?
Mr. Chair, correct.
An alternative would be...
Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, excuse me. An alternative would be to say January 31st, then it would be, the ball would be in the legislature's court. And I just put that out there not to say that as an amendment, but just to say that that's another option with this amendment, to simply change that date to January 31st, then the ball is in the legislature's court. And if it's a legislature that didn't get its work done, I think the ball should be more in the legislature's court.
Representative Kahn.
Well, if you recall, in the even-numbered years, we have not convened by January 31st since the last time I think we did it was maybe 1978 that we convene always later than that. So,
Representative Loeffler.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Emmer, instead of continuing for a year, this would say it continues for 6 months, but then we have a special session on New Year's Eve in which we're supposed to get a super majority. I'm interested in there hasn't been discussion yet of the three-fifths as opposed to what has been the traditional measure of passing an appropriations bill, which is 50% plus one. And so the... I would hope that just as with my bill, that we would never get anywhere near this point. But I think the timing and the scheduling of it does create some challenges, and I am intrigued by Representative Olson's concept that, you know, why not make it then when the next legislature convenes, since that will be shortly thereafter that deadline.
Representative Emmer.
Mr. Chairman, first, I like the way the amendment's drafted because, as I told you, and I'll preface it with, if everybody agreed with me, I think we'd have a better world. But not everybody does agree with me. In my world, we would have we wouldn't have session in that year. We would just have it every other year. The other thing is, like you just said, Representative Loeffler, I believe that we're not going to get anywhere close to this. We can live within the deadline that we have right now, the constitutional deadline. And besides that, think of it this way. If we had this type of a rule on the books, just the thought that you would have to spend New Year's Eve with someone like me, we'd probably be done by well within our time, don't you think?
Representative Bowles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Loeffler, I do believe that it's better, more accountable for the legislature if we go into January. But if this was before Christmas, I wouldn't like it. If it's after Christmas, before we make our New Year's resolutions, I do like it, so I do support the amendment.
All right. Any further discussion to the A2 amendment? Representative Loeffler, you want to tell us what your position is on the amendment?
Mr. Chamber and members, I don't think that this really enhances the effort, and I think it would create challenges to do it at that particular breakpoint, so I'm not supporting that.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Is there another? I thought we had four amendments. Okay. There's another amendment that's being passed. The A5 amendment. Who has the A5 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I move the A5 amendment.
Representative Anderson.
I had a wonderful opportunity as a freshman legislator. We spent 3 days together, Representatives Kalin, Morgan, Wolschlager, and Winkler, and had many discussions about how we got here at the legislature in the first place and what were the concerns that we heard at the door. And one of the number one concerns that we had is people were frustrated in the fact that we didn't get our, that the legislature didn't get their job done. And so when having those discussions, I know Representative Vigum has offered legislation that says that we will not take per diem during a special session. She's had several freshman members sign on to that legislation. And that's what I'm proposing here today, is to make sure that members of the legislature not receive per diem living expenses during the period when base level appropriations are in effect, which applies to Representative Loeffler's bill.
Any discussion? Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Anderson, the facts are that last time the majority of legislators did not take per diem during the special session. Although that was a choice that was retained. And I have evolved on this issue from once supporting this as sort of a penalty to actually coming to a point where I don't think it's fair. Because Greater Minnesota legislators, when we were in special session, had given up their apartments at that point because of the short-term lease that they had. They were in hotels or staying with friends. Often, you know, being if you're in a hotel, you don't have food service, you don't have your own cooking facilities, and it's an extra burden on them. The other thing is that because the special session went for 7 weeks, when most people expected to be returning to their regular jobs and earning their paycheck in that employer, it really was a huge financial sacrifice. And we have people like, we are a representative body, like our state, and we have people here who have very healthy financial situations in their family. And we have people who live on the edge and for whom every dollar makes a difference and for whom legislative service in itself is a financial sacrifice. And so I have evolved to a point of saying I always want the doors of legislative service to be open to anyone, no matter what their financial circumstances at home, and that we that each member should have the choice that we had about whether or not to impose this penalty. I didn't take per diem, but I think that still should remain an individual choice. And I do think there's a difference between Greater Minnesota representatives. The other thing is, the reality is, while we're a body of 201, most of the decision-making is concentrated, and while many of us participated in discussions and put pressure on our leaders to resolve this and to propose alternatives, it is a broad-based thing that I'm not sure will have the impact that it hoped for. And so I've evolved to a point where I'm not sure this is a policy that we should enact.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson, I appreciate the intent of what you're trying to do here. I think a lot of us who are new heard this at the door, and the frustrations from the people we represent in our communities. I personally intend to follow the intent of your language here, and I've told people in my community I would do that. But I do think that I believe in personal accountability of people here at the legislature. I think each of the 134 of us in the House and 67 in the Senate have personal accountability to their constituents. And I believe that each individual has their own circumstances. I think Representative Lawford did a great job of pointing out some of the circumstances that some of us may not share. And I think each individual needs to make that decision and then face their constituents, the voters in their districts. And I can't support your amendment to require legislators to choose what I would choose to do, but I certainly will choose to do what your amendment intends to do. So thank you.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess the question I have with this has, when you're saying living expenses, are we including the housing allowance in that? Because I know some of our outstate legislators, including the chairman, the last time we were in special session, basically became homeless. And after that, and I guess the question I have with this is, when you're saying, while this is in effect, if the way the amendment or A or D or the DE1 amendment is written, it goes into June of the next year. So the next year when we come into legislative session, are you saying that then when we're in regular session the next year, that nobody can claim get per diem or living expenses?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, to respond to a couple of those. First of all, research could perhaps correct me, but as my interpretation of it is that per diem is just the per diem, the, what is it, $77 now that we're going to be receiving. It would be for that amount. And then to your second point, it would be on the, as long as the base level appropriations were continued. So if we came back in the next legislative session and we didn't change or didn't actually establish a budget, it would continue into that point. But I'm certainly open to changing that so that we can make that more palatable to you. But if I could, Mr. Chair, I'd like to respond to a couple of things that Representative Loeffler had said. I was fortunate enough to be here during the 2005, I don't know if you call it fortunate, but I was here during the 2005 shutdown. And what was amazing to me was the camaraderie of the legislative members, the body themselves, particularly the metro legislators, in opening up their homes to the rural members, and because understanding that obviously they wouldn't have a place to live, they had already shut down their leases, they'd, you know, moved out of their apartments and so forth. And, you know, anytime that we can have that kind of collaboration and camaraderie, I think it's healthy for this body. I think that's been one of the concerns that we've talked about and one of the reasons that we feel that the legislative shutdown happened in the first place. So, I know that my home, I've got two bedrooms, be more than happy to open it up to anybody that needs a place to stay if that's the case. But that aside, one of the comments that you had made earlier was talking about the battered women's shelters, and you were, you know, concerned about the fact that, you know, they were, it didn't have someone to cut the check, so to speak. Well, I think it's pretty much of us to say, as a legislative body, that, yeah, we're going to continue to pay ourselves and not, you know, pay those folks. I think it's just a little bit of a conflict there that we have. And also just looking at this issue overall, though it's been great that a lot of members have not accepted it, there still are some that are. And I think that we need to send a message to the public that we are committed, we are public servants, and we're here to get the job done. And I think this is putting us in that right direction.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I just wanted to speak to this amendment because I was one of the first-term members last time that co-authored a bill that would have done this very same thing, and we actually never received a hearing on that bill because there are a number of members that are that were here longer that did not appreciate us moving this forward, but I was one of them members that when we went into special session did not take the per diem, and I also was not able to return to my work, so I spent 6 weeks or 7 weeks of not having the income that my family does rely on. So I was frustrated because I didn't have the ability to control the situation. The control was beyond my ability because it was with the governor and with the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader. So it was frustrating, and it's something that, again, I do appreciate the intent because I understand it and I lived through it. But I would say that I think it also does, it is an unfairness issue because the people that we're trying to say, get this message to are the people that will probably not want us to give them this message. People that have been here longer, that do rely on the money, and being somebody now who's been through this experience and not had that control, I would say I definitely see the other side of the coin. So, thank you.
Mr. Shepard, does the A5 amendment, this is to Representative Nelson's point, does it contain per diem and living expenses, or is it just the per diem?
Mr. Chair and members, I was going to suggest a clarification to clarify what Representative Nelson brought up. If you wanted to clarify, Representative Anderson, that this applied only to the per diem, I would suggest on line 4 of your amendment, after the word, after per diem living expenses, insert under section 3.099. That's the section that authorizes what you've traditionally known as per diem. There's another section of law that authorizes what has traditionally been the mileage and housing allowance. So that would limit it to just the per diem.
Representative Anderson?
And Mr. Chair, I'd like to make that as an oral amendment to insert after expenses under section 3.099?
Mr. Shepard, could you clarify one more time what would be inserted after expenses?
Mr. Chair, it would be under section 3.099.
And then, Mr. Chair, too, I'd also like to make a clarification here as well. When you're looking at this, it's in which the base level appropriations are in effect. So it doesn't carry us through June. You would still be covered under June for your per diem and for your living expenses during that time. And it would be July 1st when the new fiscal year starts.
Mr. Chairman, just to the oral amendment. Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess, you know, if we're going to do this, it would seem to me that all of the expenses should be included as opposed to segmenting out one piece or another, especially when you see the per diem increases and the year-round housing allowance that was just passed through our rules committees without a vote of the legislature. So I think that those things are all part of the same package, and my suggestion would be that we not make that delineation, and I would actually err on the other side of pulling it in more clearly as opposed to segmenting it out more clearly.
Representative Anderson, you've made the change in your amendment. So, Representative Bowles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson and members of the committee, in 05, I've been here for, I don't know how many special sessions, it had to be five or six. In the 05 special session, that was the first special session that I took per diem. I never before took per diem. And the reason I did is because I made every effort I could to end the special session. I made every effort I could to get an agreement, to use the process to the best of my ability to get the work done. Made 14 motions on the floor for the body to get the work done, take it out of the hands of the leaders, which is where the problems were. And it was something that the body has kind of facilitated more and more over the years. So here we are as an institution that's been in existence for about 150 years. To my knowledge, we've never had this kind of problem before. This bill, well-intended bill, basically releases pressure from the body for getting that work done. So we're lifting pressure to get our work done. And we know that in the body itself, in the process itself, when we have pressure to get it done, we get it done. The committees always get their work done. I've never seen a committee go past its deadline. That being said, having had the experience of 14 motions to get our work done, two of those motions we reached a majority. Even though we reached a majority, we still couldn't get our work done. So here we were faced with, in a special session, faced with a government shutdown. One of those votes occurred during the government, two of them occurred during the government shutdown. The majority voted to begin action to get the work done, and it still couldn't get done. So we have institutional problems, and we're going to release pressure. This brings back pressure after having gone through that experience that I just described. This brings back pressure to the body, to the members, to get the work done. Because that experience is now, I believe, educational for us to understand that if we continue to yield our authority to the leadership to get the work done, we are still responsible. We are still responsible for yielding that authority, and for that reason I'm going to support the amendment, even though I never have in the past, and until 05 I never took per diem myself. Thank you.
Representative House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Anderson, I want to get it clear in my mind, and so I'll give you a scenario. And you have to talk slow because I'm from up north. If we do not pass any budget bills this year and Representative Loeffler's bill takes effect, and we come back next year, whenever we come back, during a regular session, and your amendment passes, does that mean we would not get that per diem during a regular session? And just to finish up, because if that were the case, then you're kind of losing my vote on this amendment. But I could help you with a verbal amendment that would fix it to allow me to vote on it.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, that's exactly what it would mean. It's putting a deadline on us to get our job done, what we were elected to do, and we were elected to set the budget, not just rely on automatic pilot. And just if that was the case, if we wanted to go on automatic pilot, why be here every year? Well, then we might as well be here every 5 years.
Representative House.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, if this were to say during a special session, I'd be all for this amendment. I'd support it 100%. But I have to defend all the rural members in the state of Minnesota that have to come down here next year. Maybe we're working under Representative Loeffler's bill and we don't have a budget passed. You're telling all rural members that they're not going to get their daily per diem. They're not going to be able to eat while they're down here. They'll still have their housing and their mileage, but they can't eat. They have to go to mom's house if mom lives down here, which I'm fortunate. My mother does live down here, but my mother lives in an apartment. It's hard for her to cook for more than one person nowadays. So I have to protect the rural members, and I want Rukavina and Thomasoni and others to be able to eat when they're down here. So I can't support your amendment. Just based on that, I have to protect the rural members.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Representative House. Food is a powerful motivation. No, I don't think that they would go without food for very long.
Representative Kahn.
Just, I'm not going to give the particulars, but Representative Olson, stop saying what you're saying. It's wrong. It's not true. So don't say it. There have been many times when bills have not passed their deadlines. We have a procedure for dealing with that. And, you know, I could tell you the specific times, but I don't think people want to hear that now. Just don't say it anymore.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson.
I will ask Representative Kahn to point that out to me after the committee or some day following. But Representative Kahn, I'm talking about appropriations bills.
Representative Olson, we all greatly appreciate that.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know that we probably want to wrap this up. One of the issues that I have with this bill is that I'm afraid that it's going to allow us to default our responsibilities to ongoing appropriations, and I think that the Representative Anderson's amendment just gives us a little, essentially a another commitment to the taxpayers and another commitment to the electorate that we're going to do our job and do it in a time frame that is what they expect. So I would strongly support this, and would, Mr. Chairman, request a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Kim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson, as a co-author of Representative Bigham's per diem ban under special session, I just feel compelled to say that I can't. I initially thought that I agree with the spirit of your amendment. Unfortunately, because it does, as Representative House explains, it does prevent members like Representative Poppy and others around the state. Once we come into the bonding year, the next year, until this fiscal year would end, I have concerns about the lights-on approach that we're taking, and I haven't decided how I'm going to vote on that on the bill, because I don't think we should operate on autopilot. I don't think that we should. I think that the legislature should not forego its obligations. But I think to say that there were no consequences to the 2005 shutdown is not accurate at all. In fact, 19 seats in our body switched hands, including a majority. And I can tell you that if we do that again this year, we will see the same swing back. I mean, that's a great consequence. There have been great repercussions to this body, to the faith and credibility of our state government as a result of it. And members did lose their seats. So I think that to say that just a little, you know, a few dollars here and a few dollars there, you know, I'm not taking the per diem increase, and I know a lot of other members are not, and do wish that we had an opportunity to have more input on it. But I think if your amendment were to be narrowed such that it only affected this body until, let's say, if there was in the 2005 situation, until the appropriation bills were passed. So we're talking about a few days here, right, in July 2005. You might have my support, but because it's so open-ended and really does become so cumbersome for too many members, especially once we get down to the work that we need to do that, you know, at the beginning of the bonding session and the even-numbered year. Appreciate raising the issue again, but I can't support it. I wanted to clarify it because I do support the special session ban on per diem living expenses.
Representative Roth.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and thank you. I appreciate it. But that I guess Representative Kalin's comments get me thinking. I mean, is this a majority protection bill? That's not what we should be doing. Those comments, I understand where we're all coming from, and I understand where Representative Loeffler is coming from, but to talk about seat switching as a rationale or non-rationale for doing legislation is, in my view, not the correct way for us to go.
Mr. Chair.
Representative
Kalin. That's absolutely not the motivation for my consideration of Representative Loeffler's bill, Representative Braun. My point is merely that there are repercussions for not getting our work done, and I can tell you that if we were to encounter the same circumstances we did in 2005 in the future, that such repercussions will come upon members of this body, I can guarantee. And the motivation for even considering a lights on bill is to insulate the public, to insulate our state employees, to insulate the members of our community that we're supposed to serve from the dysfunction, should it ever happen again, of this body. I think we do have honest differences in state government, and we should. And we should debate them openly and honestly, and but we should learn to work together civilly and respectfully and resolve those differences. And I think we must do everything that we can to make sure that the members of the public don't serve don't bear the burden of any slight possibility of being in that circumstance again. I don't ever want to see it, but should it happen, I certainly don't want the members of the public to bear the burden for it.
Is there any further discussion for this amendment? I do want to say I share Representative Howe's concern about members not being able to eat, but not so much Representative Rukavina. I'm more concerned about Representative Junkie. No further discussion. Roll call.
Concerned about Representative Howe.
Well, I'm particularly concerned about his mother. She'd have to cook.
So no one's concerned about healthy.
Seeing no further discussion, roll call has been requested on the A5 amendment. Chair votes no.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Broad? Representative Emmer?
Yes.
Representative Hilty?
No.
Representative Hollis?
No.
Representative Kahn?
No.
Representative Kalin?
No.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Nelson?
No.
Representative Olson?
Yes.
Representative Peterson?
No.
Representative Poppy?
No.
Representative Simon?
Yes.
Representative Winkler?
No.
Representative Wohlstronger?
No.
Seeing 11 nays and five ayes, the motion does not prevail. Are there any further amendments? Any further amendments? Mr. Marks had asked to give us a brief explanation of another issue with the DEI delete everything. So, Mr. Marks, if you could be brief, and once again, please identify yourself.
Mr. Chair, members, Bill Marks, House Fiscal Staff. One of the issues that we've been discussing at various points along the way on this was of some possible unintended consequences, and one of the things to think about here is that the language in the bill, or in the Delete Everything Amendment now, talks about a bill being enacted if the bill's not enacted. And it's important to keep in mind that the context for this discussion is the bill not being bill's not being enacted in the 2005 session or special session had to do with the House and Senate not agreeing on a bill to pass. But the other action here is that the House and Senate could agree and pass a bill, the governor might veto it, and that bill would not be enacted either. So just the one issue to keep in mind here is this does open one other avenue, and this is probably the most limited approach to that, but you could have the situation where the governor vetoes an appropriations bill that the legislature, the House and Senate, have agreed to and passed, and have this take effect. If the governor decided that a base level budget in a particular area, state government finance or health and human services or whatever, was more to the governor's liking than what the legislature had passed, and that could be because of cuts in the budget or increases in the budget that the governor didn't want, the governor could veto that bill. It would probably be near the end of session, and then a base level budget would take effect for up to 1 year here. So just an issue to keep in mind that there are some other things that could occur here.
Any discussion on Mr. Marks's comments? Mr. Marks, thank you. And any further discussion on House File 7 as amended? Representative House.
Mr. Chairman, we came late, a couple minutes late into the room. The Republicans, and I wanted to make sure you knew that it was my fault. We talked about the amendments, and I wanted to make sure we knew what we were doing before we got in. But I do have a question. Will we be voting on this bill today?
Representative Howes, if there's no further discussion and there are no amendments, the motion is to send this to finance.
Okay, I guess then my question would be, on the other bills that are similar, would we still be discussing those and passing them, or are they kind of set aside?
Representative Howes, no, we would not. Unless it is the will of the body to bring other bills before us, but House File 7 would be the vehicle bill for the discussion of the lights.
Without continuing the boredom, I do have one more question. Representative Solberg has a bill that has a component like that in his bill, but would we still hear Representative Solberg's bill because it is kind of different?
Representative House, those are all possibilities as we proceed here, and we have discussed all of these things with all of the authors. It was the intent of leadership to have House File 7 be the primary vehicle for the lights on. Mm-hmm. This does not, and this is a bad pun, shut off the other bills. It simply means that the primary discussion will be with House File 7, but certainly the Senate is moving on other pieces of legislation that you've already referred to.
Oh.
So my intent is not to permanently say we're never going to consider anything, but the primary discussion will be there. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for allowing us the time to bring forward our amendments and have the discussion that I think we had. I think this bill warrants significant discussion, especially in light of what I just heard Mr. Marks say, that brings some separation of powers issues into play for me. And so I hope that we continue to talk about this issue, talk about whether we want to consolidate power in the hands of the governor like that, whoever that governor might be. And so I hope that we continue having strong discussion on this bill as it goes forward, which I assume it will today.
Representative Redd, there is every intention to have a great deal of discussion on this bill. And we were going to be, and we will continue to be, very deliberate in this committee. So we will do the work as much as we can in the committee and not on the House floor. So, and if there are amendments, we will make every possible vehicle for you to offer your amendments, whoever or whatever they are. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I understand Mr. Marks correctly, and we've had a little bit of this discussion before, if you have a governor who wants an increase in appropriations in any area, and the legislature does not, and the governor vetoes the bill, the governor, the governor wants an increase in appropriation, the legislature does not, the governor vetoes the bill, he at least gets the base under this bill. If the governor does not want an increase and the legislature does, again the governor vetoes the bill and he at least gets the base.
Representative Olson, I'm going to let Mr. Marks answer that question. We've had this discussion, and I'm sure you have had it too privately, but let's for the record have Mr. Marks answer it.
Mr. Chair and Representative Olson, the way you're describing it would be correct. The limit would be it's 1 year only. Yes, for any number of reasons that the governor might prefer the base level to what to the whole group of appropriations proposed in that bill, the governor could veto the bill and have the base come into effect. It's a group of decisions because there are likely to be several appropriations in a bill.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Olson,
thank you for that confirmation. That's exactly what I'm driving at, and what it does is, as Representative Broad identified as well, it shifts legislative authority to the governor.
Representative Olson, you have hit upon one of the major issues of this bill, separation of powers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a critical issue as this moves forward. So, any further discussion to House File 7 as amended? Then Representative Morgan renews his motion that House File 7 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to as amended and be re-referred to the Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. Members, before you leave, just a couple of more points. There was some discussion of having subcommittees. It's my intention not to have any subcommittees. We have expanded the number of committees in this body, and I don't think adding any more to them will facilitate the business of the body. So we will do all our work in the main committee, whatever work is to be done. We'll make every intention to start on time, and I would encourage members on Tuesday, please be here for the Legislative Auditor's Report on pensions. There are some significant issues that are going to be presented. Large, very, very large issues. So, any other business before the committee? Seeing none, meeting is adjourned.